thankful to have Brother Carl in our church, him and Susan. What a blessing they are. And I especially am thankful for our veterans. The things they've went through and done for this country, and sometimes they're dropped by the wayside, and we don't need to be, you know, we need to realize every one of them when we can. Thank God for them. Look where we would be if we didn't have them. Amen. And a special thank you to all our veterans this morning. Thank you, Brother Carl. If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 86, verse 5, and then I'll be going into Ephesians. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. They got all over our toes there in Sunday school this morning. You ever thought about why there's so many churches in our area? Just think about it for a minute. Why are they so... Oh, don't do that, brother. I'm loud enough. Why are there so many churches in our area? When people come down here from up north, some of you may have lived up north. I know you got here when you could. But you as soon as you could, let me rephrase that. You go up there, in all my travels and the work that I've done when I went up north, you go a long ways before you see a Baptist church. A lot of Catholic churches, a lot of things like that. But I know one person said they were 40 miles away from the first Baptist church. And they come down here and they see how we are in Clay County. I mean, you're in town there, you got churches on four corners. So, I mean, they're everywhere. And Baptist churches, there are 40-something churches around here. But why? Why are there so many churches for an area that seems like it don't have that many? You'd think that's a good thing, right? Well, maybe not. Not so good. You ever heard of a church split? And I love Brother Cawthorn over here, the little church he pastors over there. That's actually a split from here. I'm not talking bad about that church. That's a wonderful little church, and I thank God we've got it. I thank God we've got every church we have around here. But there's a reason why we have so many churches. And number one reason against that fact would be a word called pride. And another one would be the way that we're supposed to call ourselves Christian. And I want to use a synonym for Christian this morning is forgiveness. And that's the one that we have the most problem with. And I want you to think about everybody in the church this morning, those you know and love, and the new people that have become in our family here. And I want you to think about, in your lifetime, how many enemies do you have? How many enemies do you have? How many people do you got today? Is there anybody in the church, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but is there anybody here that if there's a person you wouldn't have nothing to do with right now, and if their house was on fire, you wouldn't go to pour water on it? That sounds bad, don't it? Now, you'd be surprised. I've pastored a church down below Murphy for a long time, and I got to go around a lot of churches in the area and fill in for pastors. And most of them have some families that are involved in that church, and they'll actually be a part of the family sit over this side and part of the family sit over this side that hadn't spoken 5 years, 10 years. And I'm going to tell you can't have church in a situation like that. You can't have a fellowship in something like that. But the verse I'm going to read this morning before I get into the message will be Psalm 86, 5. And the Word of God says, "For thou, Lord, art good and whole and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Pay special attention to the word forgive. And I got to thinking about that verse right there, and then that led me, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I want to preach this morning on forgiveness is Christianity. Forgiveness is Christianity. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. I want to thank you this morning, God, for our veterans. I want to thank you, God, for all they do for this country, for the freedom to stand behind the pulpit and preach, God, out of this King James Bible this morning. I want to pray this morning, God, for this service, Lord, that you just use us this morning, God, to preach your word. Give us receptive minds, receptive hearts to the holy and precious scripture this morning. God, let us draw nigh to you. God, that you could draw nigh to us. And help us, Lord, to love one another past all the affliction in the lives that causes splits and in families and churches and in areas and groups in our nation, God, a nation that's divided. I pray, God, for our leaders, that we could see Jesus Christ moving in this country. And God, allow us to lead people to your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow us to let them feel the love in our hearts, God, that we might be effective in our ministries. We love you, God. I want to pray for my pastor this morning. God, that you put healing hands upon him, his back, whatever ails him, God, I just pray that you take his pains away. God, all the years of his labor behind this pulpit, I pray, God, that you just bless him with many more. And God, be with those that work with him and give them a way to see the problems. But I know the healing will come from you. I pray for the family that we had a funeral yesterday for. And God, that you'd be with Randy and that family, his brother, Rondell. I think the sister's name is Shannon. God, would you just be with those and comfort them in the days ahead and use us, God, to shed our love with them and to share it. And we're going to love you, God, this morning. Give you all the honor and glory and praise for what you do. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I thought about what God said in the Psalms. And David, when David was always crying out to him, and he said, ready to forgive. You know, another thing some people have a problem with is forgiving themselves. You know, and I come from a past, when we first got into the Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Joe, the first thing that was read there about how that we could remember our childhood, mine is kind of the reverse of that. I love my mother and my father, but I tell you what, life for me as a child was pretty rough. I didn't have much peace then at all. And I thank God that God intervened and showed his love toward me and my praying grandmother always praying that I got to, I'm here today, standing here before you today, called to preach the Word of God because of people that prayed and people that intervened and people that showed love. And I seen love when love seemed like a far distant thing to me. And I look at churches today and I see how many there are, and I never even thought about it till a young man from up north said, y'all don't know how blessed you are. Look at all these churches you have around you. We don't have that up there. And you go out west and you might go 100 miles before you see a church. And you live in an area where you can basically go out your door and drive down the road a couple miles or even walk. Me and Don and I, we can walk to church. We're lazy though. We got a car sitting out here. How blessed we are to be in a loving church. And then I thought about the synonym. What would be a synonym for Christianity? And then the word comes forgiveness. You know, if we were to forgive people all the time and love on people no matter what, look at the difference it would make, not just in a church, but the area you live in and in the world you live in. People can't see past their anger and past their pride. Pride is a word that will not mix in church. Pride is a word that's really, that was the fall. And it's always pride that keeps people from loving each other. Families, I mean, you think I'm a kid, and some of you older folks know, families in one church that haven't spoke to each other for years, but they're so prideful, one won't leave and go to the other. No, sir, I'm going to make my stand. I'm going to make it right here, and I'll be right here forever. I'll keep my mouth shut, and I'll not say a word to them. Where is the love in that? And the reason I think God wants me to preach this morning is because we don't ever want to see that happen here. If anything, we want to be a church that'll shun that part of sin and be an example for others. Now, folks, it ain't as easy to do this as you think it is. I want to share another couple of verses with you before I go to the tabernacle. You really have to go to the... I'm going to have to turn over here to it. Just hold on just a minute. Matthew chapter 6. And look what it says, what God said. This is right during the Beatitudes. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." A lot of times in jail ministry, I use this scripture a lot because most of those guys have a problem with loving anybody, much less their enemy. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you've never been to the cross, you're going to have a problem with this. I want to help you understand it today. If you're going to be a forgiving person, a forgiving soul, you're going to have to do it under the cross. You're going to have to realize what Christ done for you and how worthless we are, that we didn't deserve it, but He done it anyway. He loved us when we were full of sin. When I was a young man and all I knew was sin. And I know the difference when God saved me, how it felt to be saved, how it felt to be loved. Amen. I mean, an experience of love that you've never known before, and see it through the shed blood on Calvary's cross. And He said in the verse after that, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send the rain and the just and the unjust. And back up just a minute, 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And then verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's hard to do this, folks. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't do this of yourself. I know everybody in this church has had a bad dealing with somebody. And the worst thing, usually when we have that dealing with somebody, the next thing that we want to do is we want to go out and backbite and run them down. And it's kind of like a wolf. We go out and we want to gather help to help us persecute that person that has wronged us. Now, we're in a church setting this morning, and everybody here can sit here and say, well, that's ungodly. But I would almost think that in our growing up in life, every one of us have done that. I know I have. I've been a part of that little army, and I've had to get forgiveness for that. There is a division. There is a wrong. And then when I thought about this division between us and God, that division is sin. And God can't look upon sin. And that takes me back to the scripture over there that I just read to you out of Ephesians. That division, I got to thinking about something that Nisi taught our children years and years ago. And I always bring it up because it's a beautiful study about the tabernacle. God wanted His children in early in life to see that there is a division. And God wanted to be close to His people. But there was a veil that separated us from God. Now, most of you probably, if you never studied the tabernacle, I suggest you get you a diagram. There's plenty on the internet, and you can see what I'm talking about. But Let's picture this church as a tabernacle. I'm looking this way. The holies of holies starts right there at the remembrance table back this way. No man could enter in here. It's where the Ark of the Covenant, the tablets were, and the mercy seat of Christ. The veil that separated God from his people. And out here would have been the holies, the most holies, and in here would have been the holies of holies. And in the courtyard. And you had the a brazen lavern and the altar of burnt offerings. And you walk in, you had the showbread on one side, the candlestick on the other. But you had a place where man could not go, and the only a priest could go in there. And they had to wrap him with bells, and he put on the ephod, and he represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and they blindfolded him, and they'd send him in there with the offering for sin. What was that offering? It was blood. So that we could have communion with God, they had to bring an offering to be forgiven of sins for that year. And then when Christ went to the cross and he shed that royal righteous blood for our sin, that veil was rent from top to bottom. The division was gone. And we had a bridge, Jesus Christ himself, that we could have communion with God the Father. But yet, in our churches, sometimes somebody will get a little miffed about something, and they'll go to this church, and they'll go to that church, and it's never going to be right for them because they're missing something. They're missing the big picture. They didn't go back to the cross of forgiveness. You see, God said, if you can't forgive your worst enemy now, he can't forgive you. If there is no forgiveness in your heart, you need to think about being saved. No one can be saved without understanding forgiveness. You have to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in repentance mode. You have to be drawn. No man cometh to the Son, Jesus Christ, lest the Father draw him. Holy Spirit draws, pulls at them heartstrings, and we get saved. He said right there, Matthew 6 and 14 and 15, but if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you your trespasses. No forgiveness, no salvation. And yet we have all these churches today in the South. What a picture. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have other churches. I think it's a blessing to have these other churches, but we need to get at the root cause. Why are there so many churches? I've always thought, you know, about 100 or so in the churches, all one pastor could really pastor, because I think the pastor has to have a personal relationship with each family. I really believe in that. I don't want to throw off on people with 400, 500, 600 people, but I guarantee you that pastor cannot have a relationship with that many families. And then you're going to say, what about the deacons? Isn't that what they're for? I'm telling you right now, a shepherd needs to be involved with the sheep, regardless of how many deacons there are. And I thank God for deacons. But there has to be something greater for true Christianity to ring in your life. And that's the love in your heart. And you only get that understanding love. See, when I was growing up, when I was about five, six years old, I had some hate that you wouldn't believe. Because life wasn't very good at times. And it would just boil inside me and boil inside me. And then when God saved me, that boiling, it stopped. I wasn't perfect right away, but God changed me. And that change had to grow. We need to love one another regardless. And don't ever backbite, bicker, and run somebody down. Don't do that. Even if you have a cause, it's not right. Bible tells us to go to that person in love and pray with them. It didn't say talk about them. It said go talk to them. That's what the Bible says. Tell them you love them. Is that not being Christian? Is that not the synonym? I'm not saying cinnamon. I'm saying synonym. It's hard for a hillbilly to get these words out sometimes, isn't it? My English teacher would probably rip me a new one right now if she knew I said that. But it means to be like. There is, if you're going to be a Christian, somebody, they need to feel forgiveness in your heart. You need to be that person that everybody wants to come to and talk. I hope there's a lot of them in here. And when you are that person, you just sit there and listen. Don't say a whole lot. Now, I have a problem with that because my wife talks a lot. I'd never get a word in edgewise if I didn't intervene every now and then. And I say that in kind of in a fun way, but and then when she's gone, I can't, I don't know which way to turn. You know, she keeps order there too. It's funny how that works, isn't it? When you live with somebody for nearly 40 years, and that person is, you know, we're apart a little bit here and yonder, and it makes it rough on me. But I love her more than life itself. I love God more than her. And when we show that love to God and we show that love to our family and our church family, and if it's the right kind of love and done the right way, I'm telling you, the church would bust at the seams. But I believe there's a lot of people that sit in the church Sunday in and Sunday out, and they've got a little something boiling in them that's bothering them. And I'm going to tell you, it won't get any better until you do something about it. Forgiveness is a huge start. Don't let things, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong in Moss Memorial Baptist Church. Don't think that the pastor or a preacher knows something that y'all don't know. That's not what this is about. This is a message that God give me because I want to, we always need to teach and prepare for the days ahead. We don't know how the devil's going to strike. And he wants to tear the seams of what this country was built on. He wants to tear it apart. And I turn on the news and I see the hate. One politician hates other. The Republican Party hates the Democratic Party. And this party hates that party. And it's just, it's boiling hate. And there's nothing about Christianity in that. Now, I can tell somebody, you're wrong in a loving way. And I say, the Bible says right here, and this is why you're wrong. And they're still going to persecute me, but that's as far as I need to go. You can't make a person change. Only God can do that. And the way he does it, so because those people see the love in your heart. Well, they come to me and they told me what I was doing it wrong, but they done it a little bit different than that last fella did. I really feel like they like me. That's the way you need to leave somebody that's wronged you. You can show disapproval in love a lot better than you can in hate. And God will work with that. That's the way any ministry ought to be. You know, Brother Carl says, you're going to run into a lot of people that don't like you. Yeah, they'll spit in your face. They'll shut the door in your face. I had one screaming one night in a pod down here in Clay County, come get me out of here, come get me out of here. He was in there with the door closed, but he could still hear the preaching. And he was under so bad a conviction, he started screaming, and they come in here and took him out. I stopped the service just for a minute because I didn't want the boy pulling his hair out or hanging himself. And they come and got him. And when he was going out, you know what I told him? I called him by name. I know the man. And I said, I love you. And he said a few choice words and went on out the door. 6 months later, he told Brother Kelsey, sometime right before we preached Brother Kelsey's funeral, he said, so-and-so called me. And you know what he said? I said, no, Brother Kelsey, what did he say? I figured he's going to come out with some more of them words. He said he loved you and he got saved. You see, there's always a way to handle things, and it has to be done a godly way. It has to be done from the heart, and it has to be done in love. Again, verse 13 says, "But now Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." He started in the Old Testament with the tabernacle, and they had that division. And he called Aaron and Moses and made Aaron the priest. And they would prepare that sacrifice every year so that God could have communion with his people. And then in our day, for us, and I thank God every day I live on this side of the cross, Jesus Christ hung on the cross, suffered all the sin in the world for us that we might have eternal life. He took care of that in blood. There always has to be a blood sacrifice for anything worth fighting for. That's why our soldiers shed blood on a battlefield, that we can have the freedom to worship our Savior. Made it possible. God made it possible to be saved, and the soldier makes it possible to be free to worship that Savior. Or we'd be hid in holes and foxholes ourselves trying to do what we know is right with the Lord. Look at verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," the veil. You take that knowledge of God's word and apply it in your own life. What veil is between you and your enemy? You know what that veil represented? Pride, arrogance. It's going to be my way or the highway. They'll do it my way, or I'm going to do this. That's a veil. It's a veil that needs to disappear. We need communion with one another, and we get that through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of the cross. Number one, we need to allow access. When God give up the ghost, see, they didn't take his life, he gave it. He had to give up the ghost. What was one of the things, one of the seven cries from the cross was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, when we have weak moments and hatred comes out of our heart, God don't save this flesh, it's still here. And you're going to have moments. You're going to have them in the workplace, you're going to have them in the home. But the closer you stay to God, the more you draw nigh to him, it is hard for that to come out. Because God will overbear it. He'll overrule it. If you're truly saved, he's working from the inside. Remember that. And he won't let you do that kind of stuff. You'll know it's wrong. You're the one that has to make the final decision, but you'll know that it's wrong to persecute. You'll know that it's wrong to say anything about somebody else. And you'll know that it's wrong to do any other thing but to pray for them and love them. If we keep that commandment of love, nothing can tear anything here up. Nothing. The devil can never come against a strong congregation that loves one another no matter what. And somebody comes in the church that's not familiar with the church and they're not dressed like preparation for going to church or what have you, and the first thing somebody wants to do is run them down, boy, that just irritates me. We got to love them there. Somebody gets saved, you never have to say a word to them. Not one word has to come out about what they're wearing. I've seen boys come to church in a jail, get saved, and start taping up tattoos, tying rags around them, asking the jails, "Have you got anything with long sleeves? I need to cover up." That's when you see real change. But it's the same way in a church. It's a little more subtle. But I've seen young ladies that went to church that wasn't dressed right. I've seen men come to church that wasn't dressed right. And then when God saved them, they just begin to evolve and change, because that's what God does. Because people loved them enough, they start wanting to mimic those they love. It's all about mimicking Christ, isn't it? Ain't that what Christ Christian is too? Christ-like. We have to look at the cross a lot. So we need to allow access. Number two, draw nigh to God. We've got to draw closer to God through prayer. If you want access with God, you've got to speak to Him. You've got to have a personal relationship. That movie that came out a little while, that little lady with a prayer closet, boy, I like that. She had her special place where she'd go. God answered prayers in them places. Everybody needs a special place that you go to commune with God. My kids left home. I took the basement. I'd go down there and get in that one of them little rooms back there. There ain't no windows in it, and it's just me and God. Boy, He showed me some things. Every one of us need that place. Number three, you got to break down walls. I'm going to ask everybody a question here. Is there a wall anywhere between you and someone else? You don't have to answer that out loud. I want you to think about it. We're going to have altar call just here in just a little bit. And I want you to think about, is there any walls that you know of between you and someone else? It don't have to be here in church, anywhere. That wall needs to be mended. You realize that's keeping you distant from God? I just read the scripture. It ain't what I said, it's what God said. Is there any wall between you and anyone? I'm talking about criminals too. I'm talking about all of them. We need to love them all. I'm not saying what they've done is right. I'm not agreeing by what they've done, and I can't help them if I don't love them. And sometimes it's hard. They'll make it hard. But you got to remember, you always got to look in the back of that person's life and say, what happened to make them this way? What happened in their lives when they were little? Were they mistreated? Was daddy mean? Was mama mean? Was uncle or, you know, mean? Something happened to make them this way. That kind of life had an opposite effect on me. I was trying to leave that life to get to the good life. I seen families, how they would sit down and hold hands and pray around food. And it was something new to me. And I thought, man, this is life here. This is better. I want that. They never said a word to me. All they done was love me and took me in. You know? They didn't have to talk about God all the time. They made sure I went to church with them, but that wasn't the deal. What I was seeing was what it was like to live a Christian life in a family. I could see that they loved one another. There wasn't no cuss words flying and none of that kind of thing. That was different. That's the life I want. It's different. So we need to break down those walls. Now again, church, family at home, church, county, state, right on to the top. This speaks to all that. Break down the walls. And number four, don't leave. Don't treat each other as strangers. You ever come to church and feel like you're a stranger? Now, I'm nearly deaf, and Dinah will see people speaking to me or they're saying something to me. And I guess that's why I talk so loud. I don't know. Sometimes people think, he just don't want to talk to me. He don't want nothing to do. It ain't that. And you might be saying something to me, I won't even hear you. Get around to my face and say, hello, brother. Then I'll know you're here. But I'm telling you, we need to have access to everybody here. Everybody needs to give somebody a hug, love on them. And our pastors over the years always ask for people to, you know, shake everybody's hand. Tell them you love them. That's what it's all about. It's hard for the devil to work through that. And I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm not talking about putting on a mishap or this, that, and other. I'm talking about real love. Love somebody. You may not have children. You can love these. There's plenty of them around here. Some of them will beat on you, but they're still lovable. You got to love them all. Take all the bad, all the good, and put it in a pot and stir some love in, and it'll overtake anything that's evil. God loves us. He said in verse 15, having abolished and his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twine one new man, so making peace. God demonstrated the greatest love that man's ever known on the cross. He done it for all sinners, regardless of background, regardless of color. He brought Paul on the scene to bring the Gentile in, to preach to the Gentile nation, that they might be saved when his own people denied him. We need to follow those examples. We need to love people outside what we're our comfort zone, because that's the only thing that's going to bring this nation back together. It's small churches all around that can see past everything that's going on. They can see past all the lies, and we already know what the issue is. It's a thing called love and forgiveness. I'm not saying to agree with what the people are doing. I'm saying if you want them to change, they need to see love and forgiveness in you. That's what they're really after. They're in search mode. These people that have all these evil things going on in their minds, and I know if you listen to politics here lately, you're just amazed by what comes out of their mouth next. I know I am. But you know how to attack that? With love. Somehow or another, we need to love them and share Jesus with them. The real God, not Allah, but the real God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those people need to know who He is and what He done for us. Are you saved this morning? I had a preacher here yesterday delivered a wonderful message in that celebration of Connie's life. Good message. All about salvation. You see, if you're here this morning and you're lost and undone without God, you're having a problem with everything I just said. You're having a problem with, wait a minute. I can't, this person really wronged me. I lost my job because of this person. I lost something huge. I lost a husband because of this person. I lost a wife because of this person. There's all kinds of evil out there, evil things that happen to people, and they hate the world over it. But the only thing that's going to give them the freedom is the love of Christ. The only thing that's going to give them freedom is forgiveness in their own heart. Because that hate thing will eat you up inside. That's what the devil designed it to do. Eat you up. Anyone here this morning, somebody come play something. If you've got an issue with a friend that's wronged you, or today's the day to take care of it. The altar is right here. It's laid out. The spread's here. And we're going to have a prayer for Brother Charlie this morning here. But while you're down here, you might as well take care of everything. Is there something that's bothering you? Is there something in your life, and it may not have anything to do with the church here, but somebody out there, someone that you're having a problem dealing with, and you need to bring it down here. You need to bring it to God. God, what would you have me to do? Now, when you ask that question, expect an answer. Because God's going to speak to you. And you know who you are. Anyone. If you have fault, anyone, all you're doing is taking a blessing away from yourself. You can't be free in that kind of a mode. You can't live life when you got any kind of thing going on in your heart that you haven't taken care of. And God already knows that issue. But it's just going to eat at you and eat at you. Be like a wormhole in an apple. You want to be a whole apple, don't you? You want to bear fruit? You need to get rid of all the bad stuff. You need to do a little weeding in the garden. We need to love everybody here the way God intended us to love one another. Let's all stand. You may be lost and undone without Jesus this morning. If you are, God's pulling at your heartstrings, and you may not even understand how to love somebody unconditionally the way God loved us. But God can show you. He can give you everything you need right there under the cross. His blood-mangled body was on the cross. And then they pierced his side, and the water comes out for the cleansing, and the blood come out for the atonement. And it was permanent, no longer. The veil was rent from top to bottom. There's no longer a division. I don't have to go to Brother Charlie to get forgiveness. I go to God Himself through Jesus Christ, my Savior. How long has it been since you've been to the altar of forgiveness? I hope you go there every day. But if not, you can take care of all that this morning. You come. I must tell Jesus.